session. And again, I want to welcome those as well who are online. I want to say that we're just so glad that you're here with us. My wife, Jan, and I are the lead pastors. My name is Pastor Todd, along with my wife, Jan. We're the lead pastors here. And again, it's just so awesome when God shows up like he does every Sunday and speaks great things to us. And I hope you were encouraged today. The word of the Lord was that God is with you. That God is with you. Who here needs to be reminded that God is with you each and every day? I know that it's encouraging for me to be able to hear that. As well, I want to just say this, that again, last week we had such a great time celebrating all of our volunteers, and for all of you that are a part of that area, if serving in our church, again, we just want to continually say thank you, that Volunteer Sunday isn't just like one Sunday out of the year. We are thankful every single day that you are here to serve as a making Eastside City Church what God has called it to be. And as well, Peter already announced to you that we are going to be starting Finding Financial Freedom Part 2 today at 1:30. And if you want to learn how to take charge of your spending, today's lesson will encourage you and empower you. If you haven't signed up for that yet, I want to encourage you to come and be a part of that. Well, we are starting a new series today called In the Beginning. But before I dive into the in the beginning part, I want to start off with a story. Now, I know for many of you, this is going to come as a surprise, that my best sports in high school actually were not baseball or basketball, but running, especially distance running, was my best sport. And I use the word used to emphatically. I used to be able to run a 5K, just to give you some context, in just a little over 16 and a half minutes. Okay, I was fairly decent. In fact, when I was in sixth grade, I was competing in high school meets because I needed more challenging competition. And here's the crazy part. I didn't love running. That's why I don't talk about running a lot. That was not exciting to me. What I liked about running is I liked winning. I liked winning races. That's what got me excited. And you know, there's always that place in your life where you run your last race or play your last game. And I'll never forget my last high school race for a few reasons. First of all, I ran for the first time. I know this will sound crazy. I didn't grow up in Canada, but my last race was in Surrey, British Columbia, which was my first time ever running outside of the U.S. And being that it was February, the night before the race, somehow in Vancouver, it had one of those crazy freak snowstorms. And I had run in all sorts of conditions growing up. I grew up in a place that we lived in logging areas, so there's lots of hills and terrain. I ran through rivers. I'd run on beaches. I had trained in places where you went up hills, down hills, up mountains, in ravines. But I'd never, ever run in the snow. In fact, if it snowed when I was at home, I didn't get out of my house. So I had run in many conditions, as I shared before. So as per usual, typically when you'd run a race, you first of all would go walk the course. You'd want to see where you needed to be, where the turns were, where were different areas. And so we did that to familiarize ourselves with the layout. And so that happened in this race. But it had continued to snow a little bit, which is going to make sense here in a moment. And as the race started, everything was going to plan for me, the way I like to race, is I jumped out to an early lead, and I started to distance myself from the rest of the pack. Now, for me, if the course allowed for it, which this course did, I love to get out of the view of the rest of my competitors. Why? Because psychologically, it made it more difficult for them to catch up with me. And I remember I was flying through the course, and I was heading to a sure victory until I heard from behind me somebody yell, "Hey! Hey! You missed the turn! You missed the turn!" As I stopped, my feet slipped. I fell on my backside because it was snowing. And when I picked myself up off of the ground, I saw that the course spotter was 200 meters behind me, and now other runners were coming into view. As I quickly made my way back to where the spotter was standing, two of my teammates were arriving at the same time, and they passed me as we all started toward the finish line. Now, with a mix of determination and desperation, I tried to catch them, but they had found another gear and began to surge ahead like two sharks that smelled blood in the water. And as we came to the last 100 meters, I pressed to pass them, coming a few steps short and taking third place. That was my last race. But as much as I hated defeat, which I did, there was joy in their celebration of not only winning the race, but beating me for the first time. And it did warm my heart and brought a smile to my face as they were good friends. They were great teammates that had worked really, really hard for that moment for themselves. Now, the spotter, to his credit, came and apologized for not being at the place he was supposed to be. See, he didn't realize I would get there so quickly. But here's the truth, and here's what I want to focus on today. Regardless of whether it was fair or not to finish the race, I had to follow the design route on the course. I could not run in any direction. I couldn't go according to my own desires. But even though some things weren't completely where I thought they should be, I still had to follow the course. And I say this, as human beings, we crave order. We work best when there is a start time, a lunch time, I know for me, and a go home time. We appreciate those who wait their turn in line, while we become growly with those who cut the accepted order. We knew our kids do best, usually with regular bedtimes, bath times, and consistent rules and boundaries. We play games to win, but we honor only those who follow the rules. Even the most creative people, I believe this, thrive in times of focused discipline. See, we look for orders in our activities because it has been imprinted upon us. Chaos cannot become order without outside intervention. And if you're looking for proof, observe your child's bedroom or play area. Never once in my life did my kids' rooms magically clean themselves or order themselves. You see, you cannot throw a bunch of playing cards in the air and expect them to organize themselves and fall neatly in a box. Why am I talking about this? Well, today we are starting a new series called In the Beginning, When the Word Speaks. And as we move forward, we're going to start with the first verses in the Bible, or even the first verse in the Bible. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, we could camp right here for days, and those 10 words are amazing, and they're incredible, and there's so much there, but we're going to go on. And in verse 2, it says, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface area of the waters. In verse 3, it says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. The word Genesis, when we talk about the word Genesis in the Bible, it literally means beginnings. And beginnings are important because they help us to explain the purpose or intention of what those things are. How did you meet as a couple? You see, where you came together, the beginning is important. What led you to write that song or start your company? We could go through a whole different list of things, of why things are, but what's important to understand is, what was it for in the beginning? Now, there are many theories, for those of my science people, my fellow nerds, I'll raise a fist to you. Because if I wasn't doing what I was doing today, I would probably be teaching chemistry and biology in high school and coaching teams. That's what my degree is that I haven't completed yet. Sorry to hear that. But I'm close. But there's a lot of questions about how life began. And they typically fall under one of two categories. Life formed over millions of years from chance circumstances and is still evolving. Or God created the universe and it operates the way he intended to. Now, I know I'm being oversimplified today, but really, if you strip everything away, that's the two schools of thought that are typically out there. And either life began with God or without God. And the belief that life started without God, many of us know, we studied it, we've been in high school, it's been the predominant teaching and thinking for years, is the theory of evolution, which has been the prominent thought in both lower and higher education for almost 100 years. Now, I know this is crazy. It's when you look at history, it's still relatively a new thought. And it presents some interesting ideas, but also leads us to some bigger questions. Like when I was growing up, I thought all life was birthed from a simple cell. But here's the question, where did the simple cell come from? Well, a simple cell came from a planet that had the right mix of oxygen and hydrogen and carbon. Okay, so then my question was, well, where did the planet come from? Well, the planet came from a cosmic explosion, a big bang, the creating an expanding universe. Okay, where did the cosmic explosion come from? And what was it that exploded? You can go on infinitely trying to come up with reasonable answers that only lead to even more questions. And here's what has thrown, and it's a beautiful thing, the science world upside down in the last 15 to 20 years. With the advent of more powerful research equipment, microscopes, telescopes, those organisms that were once considered simple cells have been discovered to be much more complex, much more detailed, causing many staunch evolutionary scientists to consider that there must be some sort of form of intelligent design when it comes to the universe. You see, when we look at the Bible, it starts with these words, in the beginning. You see, it's important to understand if you have a worldview that says that God is a part of it, that the Bible, the Word of God, is truth, and you hear that when God said in the beginning, then we should take as followers of Jesus, okay, this is where the beginning starts. You see, for those who believe in the inerrancy or that the Bible is permanent, eternal, that's good enough. It's simple. It's explainable, but not easily, listen to this, observable or repeatable to fulfill the scientific method. And if you believe the words in the Bible are the actual words of God, then you will believe the Bible defines all truth, including the beginning of life, the purposes of man and woman, the brokenness caused by sin, the power of forgiveness and redemption. You see, science was not given to us to prove the absence of God, but to verify his existence and the truth of his word. So what does the Bible say about creation? Well, it said the earth was formless and void. It was without definition. It was an empty ball of water that was completely dark. Ray Steadman, a scientist and Bible scholar, says the earth began as a planet covered by uninterrupted ocean, which itself was wrapped in darkness. With that picture, science fully agrees. What is he saying? Well, he's saying that when God first created the earth, there was no land, there were no structures, there was no life, not any visible objects, only darkness and water. And it says this, and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, was hovering over the earth. Now, the Hebrew word for hover means to brood, or to involve oneself intently, or to passionately involve yourself with. And here's what was happening. As creation was forming, God was at work in his universe, releasing and imprinting his purposes all over it. It was not a random act. It was not a sterile interaction, but it was life releasing. And I'm setting this up because there's more that we're going to talk about here. You see, it's the same picture as the Holy Spirit hovered over Mary. And I'm not trying to be wild or gross or thing, but here's what God did while he was hovering over the earth. He moved order from disorder. He made order from disorder. He put what was formed to what was formless, and he created something out of nothing. I can almost hear, for those of you who know this, the music to Space Odyssey 2010. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. Doesn't that just seem like a God thing? I mean, it's just like, yes, things are being formed. Now, the challenge for science is that not everything is observable or predictable when it comes to dealing with God. A spiritual being who moves upon his universe not only in physical measures, but in visible ways with intrinsic purpose. You see, science cannot explain within its finite rules, the laws of the universe, limited parameters, an infinite God who is the lawgiver of the universe, who resides outside of time and space. It's why miracles are miracles. They cannot be explained or repeated through a scientific process. And you know, sometimes as human beings, that's what we would like for our relationship and the things that we do with God sometimes to work, that if we just had the right formula, the right method, if we just prayed exactly the right way, we did things this way every time, it would always come out exactly the same way. But God is God, and we're not. And for some of you, I know I'm probably wrecking a lot of things. Some of you, I might even be frustrating a little bit. But that's okay. Because we are talking about faith and what God said and how God does things. It's why you cannot put God in a box or explain what he does through a formula, because God created the box. And he's not subject to the laws of the box and is only defined by himself. You see, it's why people who try to explain God out of systems need millions of years to describe what God did in an instance or in a relatively short amount of time, because nobody can observe it, let alone repeat it. So how did it all happen? We see here that it says that God spoke. God said, "Let there be light." And instantaneously what there was light. By his word, God miraculously established his creation. There were four older men that were sitting around having daily conversations about life and pondering the universe. The younger of the four friends says, "I've been pondering things that are fast, and I reckon that a blink must be the fastest thing known to man." The others nodded in agreement. But then one of the other men said, "Listen to me, I figure that a wink is even faster than a blink." Pondering for a moment, a third man added his two cents and said, No. I believe that a thought or thinking is the fastest thing known to man." And after they had all spoken and gave their thoughts, they looked to the oldest of the group for his wisdom. And he said, "My friends, I believe I know the fastest thing known to man, and it's diarrhea. Just last week, before I could wink, blink, or think, I'd filled my pants." I love, you're going to be like, how can he transition to this? Listen to this. I love what the Bible says here. It says he separated the light from the darkness, and he called the light good. You see, in a moment, God spoke, and there was light. Why did he call the light good? Well, we have to understand this. When Satan was cast down from heaven in Ezekiel 28, 12, verses 19, and Revelation 12, 9, to the earth, darkness entered the universe and it surrounded creation. We do not know the exact time because the Bible doesn't say exactly. But we do know that he was confined to the earth. It is important to God in the beginning to separate light from darkness, establishing that his light is good. So what type of light was it that was there in the very beginning? And the reason I'm asking this is according to the biblical creation account, the sun and the moon were not created until the fourth day. So what was the light? We discover in the Gospel of John where the light mentioned in Genesis 1:3 came from. And this is going to be the crux of this series, and we say in the beginning, because most people understand that the Bible talks about in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. But did you know that in John 1:1, it says this, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. See, before the sun, the moon, and even the stars, we have to understand this, and this is so important to our faith, and we're going to talk about even the Word of God more as we go on, about how we can understand that the Word of God is so true and accurate, because before even the sun, the moon, and the stars were created, the Word existed. We see that in John 1:1. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he existed in the beginning. See, we have to understand this, that the Word of God is not a book, but Jesus himself. And John continues, God created everything through his Word, or through Jesus, and nothing was created except through him. You see, from the beginning, Jesus has been the center of everything. And this is important that we understand this. Why? Because it's important for us to know that in the beginning, Jesus is the Word. Because more important than understanding the creation of the universe is understanding that the Bible or the written Word of God is not just a great book or some nice principles, but it is an unchangeable, it's an unchangeable and immovable foundation that is manifested in Jesus, who was and who is to come. See, Jesus, the Word, became flesh when he walked on the earth. And I want to grab this Bible. I was going to bring mine, but I'm going to steal Peter's. You see, this book, within this book, everything contained in this book is contained in Jesus and has always existed throughout eternity. You see, if you understand that, if you believe that, it changes everything about why you read this book, you believe this book, and you study this book, because it is the truth and it is eternal. See, all truth, all knowledge, all laws of the universe, they exist in him, in Jesus. And before anything else was the living Word. You see, why is this important? Because we need to understand that the Word of God is alive. So when we read it, so when it's preached, when it's spoken to our life, we have this Word. Why? Because it is alive. It does something in us. And I dare you to read this book every day and not have your life changed. You see, not only that, but we understand that everything, including creation, has been built on the sure foundation of Jesus. Ephesians 2:20 calls what Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Jesus said, Jesus and his Word are the building blocks to those things that will stand the test of time. You want to have a strong marriage that can survive any challenge? Build it on the Word. You want to raise children that are honoring and respectful? Build them in the Word. You want to have a business that is truly successful? Build it on the Word. You want to have a life that is impactful and enduring? Build it on the Word. You see, everything that is built on the Word of God will never go away because the Word of God is eternal. But not only did it say here that Jesus is the Word, but it also said he's the light. That he's the light of the world. When God said, let there be light, it was confirmed in John chapter 1, verse 4, that the initial light to shine over the earth was Jesus himself. He was the light. If you go to read Revelations chapter 22, I can't remember the exact verse right now, but it talks about how when there is a new heaven and a new earth, because one day this earth that we're on is going to pass away, God is going to build a new heaven and a new earth, and it says that the light of that place is going to be no other than the Son of God, Jesus himself. He is the light of the world. He is the one who changes us. He's the one who guides us and leads us. And I love what it says in John 1, verse 4. It says, the Word of God gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The very presence of God has defined as light. You see, because Jesus is the light of the world, he reveals to us not only what does not belong in our lives, but he leads us into truth, which produces freedom and liberty. You see, his light shines not only into the dark places of our universe, but it shines into the dark places of our hearts. Because he is the Word. He guides us and directs us regardless of the darkness surrounding us. Who would say there's a lot of darkness around us these days? There's a lot of crazy things. I'm just here to tell you, Jesus is the light of the world. Go to him. Psalms 119, verses 105, King David writes, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus, because you're the Word, you illuminate my way. You guide me and direct me through dark places. And if I can have the keyboard player come up. You see, when the Word speaks, everything changes. When the Word speaks, I believe we need to listen. When the Word speaks, we should follow or obey. You see, when the Word comes to us, it's not to hinder us. It's not to keep us from experiencing goodness and all those good things, but it's to lead us into freedom and to joy in God. I love what it says as we're closing in John 8:12. It says, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, but you will have the light that leads to life. You see, because God was there in the beginning, you can trust that he's with you today. And today I'm only laying out a little bit of a foundation. We're going to talk about why we can trust the Word of God and believe what it says. We're going to learn what was really there in the beginning. You see, God spoke, but it wasn't just God by himself. It was the Holy Spirit and Jesus. There was agreement. There was unity in what was spoken. We're going to discover even more that God created us with purpose. And no matter what culture is trying to define people as or what we are, the Bible is what gives us a clear understanding of who we are and what we're called to be and how we're called to live. Because in the beginning, the Word was with God and the Word was God. And I'll tell you what, that right there is enough for me to understand that, God, you are a part of this. And I want to be with the one who is the creator, the originator, the one who has life, the one who's the miracle worker. We can trust and serve a great God because he's always been there from the beginning. Yes. Hallelujah. I believe God desires to show each one of us greater detail in the plans and purposes he has for life. But to find it, we must choose to walk in the light. To walk in the light means that we walk with the light by following Jesus in that path that leads to life. Here's what I hear today by the Holy Spirit. If you feel like you're walking in darkness, I just hear Jesus saying, follow me. If you know that you are facing darkness or that darkness is surrounding you in some areas, what does Jesus say? Jesus says, come to me. If you feel that there is even maybe some darkness that's entered your heart, I hear Jesus say, give it to me. Whatever is troubling you, the question is, will you allow God to lead you? Will you give it to Jesus? Will you put your trust in him who is the living word? With heads bowed and eyes closed today, as we're launching into a little deeper place, a little deeper place of thinking and understanding. Today, I believe that God is speaking to us. And like he spoke in Genesis 1:3, he said, let there be light. If there is anything in your life that you just feel like you're just battling against just darkness, or you just feel like there's some things that are trying to invade your life that are just feel like they're a little bit overwhelming today, I believe God wants to help you. God wants to touch you. Would you raise your hand today and say, Pastor Todd, I feel like I need God to push back some things by his light. Would you raise your hand today and say, Father, I want your light in my life. Maybe you're here today and you've been wrestling with some things. You've been even wrestling with the word of God, and God's just saying, would you just surrender those things to me? Father, I just pray today, Father, as we begin this journey with you. Lord, we're going to talk a little bit about just purpose, and we're going to talk about science, and we're going to talk about creation, but we're going to talk more about your word and your truth. And Father, I pray to every single person that is here today that can hear my voice, that Lord Jesus, that you would just shine into their life. Those that are facing some battles that seem like they're being overwhelmed with right now, things that are attacking their thinking, attacking their mind and their heart. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would just shine your light into that space. And Lord, they would see you. They would see your hand. And I just declare, even today, that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, would surround each person here. It would surround your heart. Now, for some of you, I hear the Holy Spirit even saying today, you've got to embrace his light. Some of you need to speak to your own heart and your own spirit. God, shine your light here. God, I invite you. I invite you to come and expose any type of thinking, anything in my heart, anything that I've been walking, anything that I've been exposed to that doesn't belong to you. We declare that the light would come and there would be a cleansing and a releasing of your grace and your goodness and your mercy today. Father, we declare it. And I even just am thinking of this scripture today. It says that he who I've set free is free indeed. Come to the light. Let the light speak to you.